Hi, I'm Uriel.
And I'm Nick.
And welcome to Hella in Your 30s.
This week we get real bougie.
Let's do yoga. Let's get fit. Let's do jumping jacks. And we'll get rich. But oops, I found that bottle of gin underneath the sink again. So tomorrow's a new day. Let's order pizza.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Hella in Your 30s. This is a podcast for people of all ages, except maybe kids, all about navigating this dystopian world we live in.
And sometimes, you know, as the planet burns, you got to get real fancy.
Yeah, man. That's what us elder millennials are all about.
Or, as I like to call us now after seeing it in one title, geriatric millennials.
That's right. We ain't got no money, but God be damned if we're not a little bit bougie.
You know, we get a lot of listener requests, and we can't always do them right away, you know, because of whatever. Like, we wanted to go see Old, for instance, when it was in the movie theaters, because Tevin said we should and we wanted to, but we couldn't.
Yes.
You know, so we're going to have to wait for it to come out when it's streaming and stuff. But we got you, Devin. We'll do that episode. We got a bunch of fun requests. But this one came to us via Twitter, which, let's be honest, our Twitter presence is not that popping off, but we do get some love on Twitter. And at Miss Kiro Sparkles has been hitting us up, and she came up with a really, really, really great idea for an episode. Mm-hmm. And it was based off of the episode where we went and ate Steamers in Seattle, and I admitted to being very bougie about seafood.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, she met me halfway.
Uh-huh.
And she said, I'm also very bougie about seafood. And when she lived in Chicago, people always treated her like she was trying to be too fancy, which, Kira, you know that you're right about that.
I know.
We lived in Chicago.
Right.
The seafood out there sucks.
Not all of it, Nick.
Don't
be a jerk about that.
I'm not being a jerk.
There's
I'm being bougie about it. I'm being bougie. That's
we're
going to
be hitting up against this wall this entire episode. It doesn't suck, but if you're in a landlocked state, you have a different attitude towards it.
Okay, great. Okay, so what she suggested we do is we do an episode called Nick's Bouge, which is about all the things I'm bougie about.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Akin to like Nick's Beef or whatever, where I talk about all the rap music I love.
Love it. Nick's Bouge.
Okay. So we took that and we sort of expanded on that idea just a little bit. So we're just doing a straight up bougie episode. It's about what Muriel's bougie about and what I'm bougie about. Because Lord knows we're sitting here drinking Coke Zeros in our pajamas. So there's plenty of things in which we are not fancy pants, including pants, actually. And then certain things that we get very up on our high horses about, very opinionated, and we're going to celebrate those things today on this episode. So I do think we've already touched on this a little bit thematically. We have to play around with what the actual definition of bougie is.
Uh-huh.
So Muriel, how would you describe bougie?
So I think that bougie for me is like not something that you do out of necessity, right? Like I could buy cheaper shoes, but I don't because it hurts my knees.
Yeah.
So like, I don't think that that's bougie.
You're
to
not
me.
Bougie about shoes, right?
No, I'm not super bougie about shoes because most of the reason I pick them out is because of convenience, even though I do pick out more expensive shoes.
Right.
So that's, I don't think it's that. I think that bougie is more about being picky about something that's not super necessary.
Yes.
Or being like just preferring the luxe version of something.
Right.
That without it having a real super practical like
reason.
Impact.
Yeah, totally.
You know what I mean? The anything that's generally speaking, a lot of things that are a little more expensive tend to be higher quality. So there's always going to be a little bit of crossover with that.
Right. But some things you're like, I refuse to do the cheaper, worse version of.
Right. Or if you do, it's like, oh, that sucks. Even though it doesn't really matter.
You're throwing a huge fit for whatever reason.
Right. Or even if you don't throw a huge fit, like that's the other thing is that some of these things that I wrote down, like I probably would never throw a huge fit about it ever in public or in this company.
Right.
But if I had my druthers
right.
in my space, then there were some be some things that I would feel more strongly about.
I do feel like you get a little bit of a bad rap for that, because like on this podcast we talk about a lot of food stuff, and you know, we talk about your cooking and I celebrate you as this really great cook. So sometimes we'll go over to a friend's or even family's houses and they'll be like worried that their cooking won't be like up to your standards. But the thing is like you're not bougie when it comes to a gift someone else is giving
you. If somebody else is cooking for me, I'm so excited. Yeah. I love it when other people cook for me.
But if you're cooking for yourself, you turn into the bougiest bee in the world.
Well, it's like a hobby, yeah. You know? And so it's like if your hobby was model trains,
yeah,
and somebody made you a model train and you were, yeah, like, damn, that's so nice.
Yeah, who cares if it's out of plastic or I was going to say plastic forks. That doesn't even make sense.
Right.
You get my point.
But I wouldn't even be focused on that piece of it,
right,
for
of
me,
course not.
Like,
yeah,
that wouldn't even be, it's like the gift of it is the only thing you really think about.
Yeah.
But if I were to take my time to make something that I was like just really hyper focused on,
yeah,
and
right,
just was having had an afternoon to be sort of, you know, doing my thing,
yeah,
I'll probably be more bougie about it.
Right.
But that's
totally
like for me, you know, and maybe around you, because we're together all the time.
Yes. Muriel, okay, the tables have turned. As a lot of you longtime listeners have learned, I always am yelling at Muriel to stop rubbing her eyes. But the thing that I've started doing, or I guess some of you guys know this, is incessantly pulling at my beard and twirling it. And now Muriel is getting really violently irritated by it.
I'm not violently irritated, but there's two things that are happening.
Are you bougie about
there's
it?
There's three things that are happening.
Are you incredibly bougie about
One
it?
One thing is that you're stuffing your beard into your mouth way more often than you used to in mixed company. So I'm trying to help you move yourself away from that.
Yes.
And then the other thing that's happening,
yeah,
is you said you wanted to stop and you're having a hard time stopping. So I'm trying to help you.
Yeah, which you are doing like you just did, which was like violently throw something at my face.
I didn't I threw a small piece of plastic at you.
As hard as you could. Because I ducked.
Don't be such a baby.
You're bougie.
And the last thing that's happening, so you're using it as an insult. I knew already you're just going to be an asshole. This not has anything to do with being bougie. The last thing is you're breaking off all the hair in the center of your beard. So now you have a fat bald patch.
But you say that, but I never even pull it there. That's not where I touch it.
I know,
touch it here.
It's just here so funny here to me, because we keep having this argument over and over again.
Yeah.
But your bald patch keeps getting bigger and bigger the more you pull at it. So you were like, it's my natural indent. Oh, it's not even anything. You got a straight up massive bald patch.
Yeah, it's all bad.
It's not, just a little bit. Okay. Just a little bald patch in the
Okay, I don't want to be an asshole about this, but I do want to own a little bit that being bougie does kind of make you a little bit of an asshole. I was working at the strip club when that Migos song, Bad and Bougie, was like the number one song in the world, and everyone was coming in and pretending to be bougie because that song had such an impact. So
yes,
everyone was like acting fancy. And really what it meant was that people were coming into the strip club and just not having fun.
Right, but it's like, that's what I mean, is that I don't think that, see, to me, bougie, yeah, is way more, you having a more elevated taste than the rest of your life would dictate in certain areas. It's,
yeah,
like if you're bougie, you're just bougie, right? That means that you're just like the bourgeoisie and you can do anything you want, right?
Yeah,
that's,
yeah,
like that is your life.
Right.
But if you're us and you're like super trashy in other areas,
yeah,
really not at all, like, you know, whatever, but you have certain little things,
yeah,
that like are an anomaly in the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You know, that's how I feel about,
right,
it.
Right. Totally.
Like, cause you can be like, I'm not going to be an asshole about it. It's like more like things that you like, but maybe you're right. Cause I have a few on here that I tease you about.
Okay. So this is what
maybe
we did.
Maybe we'll both be assholes.
I think that's guaranteed to be the fact. So this is what we did. We each went to our separate corners of the room. As far away from each other as we could possibly muster. And we wrote out two lists.
Mm-hmm.
So we each wrote out all the things that we consider ourselves to be bougie about, and then all the things we consider the other person to be bougie about. And we're going to play a little game. It's called I Think You're Bougie About Fill in the Blank.
Yes, I love this game. I want to start with accusing each other of things.
Yeah. How do we insert some drama? All right, Muriel,
I'm
go
be
first.
Mad at you. You go first.
Okay. I think you're really, really bougie about salt.
Oh, man. I am. That was on my list. That's the first one.
Was it? It was my first one for you too. This girl has to have the exact kind of salt she likes. It doesn't have, it's not necessarily the expensive, fancy kind. In fact, if you bring her some Himalayan pink sea salt or something fancy, she's going to be bougie against that. She needs her kosher salt, and she needs it in a little dish that she can pinch out of. And she needs it not only to cook with, but then as a little side dish with whatever she's eating.
Okay, listen, I'm going to be real about this. There's a few things. It's salt. And I, in my defense,
yeah,
different types of salt have actual different salinity levels. So some salt is saltier than other salt.
Yeah.
And so if you are cooking and you, I've done this before. I don't know if you remember this, but I swapped out sea salt for kosher salt.
It was so gross.
And it was so salty. You remember that? It was that cured, just, like a, that Korean pork butt thing that I like to make.
It just tasted like water, like salt water.
It was, you, it was like inedible, right?
No, I mean, it was still good.
It was really salty. And that's the thing is, like, for cooking, that's typically what most recipes call for is kosher salt.
Yeah.
So all the recipes are tailored, like most recipes are tailored to using that style of salt. And it has this awesome texture and it's really fun to pinch. But it is like, that's the thing that they're made for. So for me, it's harder to cook with like table salt or sea salt because you're not really like doing the level of salt that the thing is asking for.
Yeah.
I know. Okay. I know I'm hella bougie about it.
Yeah.
We went to a friend's house for a weekend who I love dearly. And the first time I went there, they had like a Himalayan sea salt grinder.
Yeah.
And we were all cooking all these dishes and we ran out of salt and we couldn't, you're trying to grind it. You don't know how much is coming out of this stupid grinder into the thing. It was like trying to grind it into a dish. Da, da, da. Next time we went, we were staying for a long weekend and I brought a box of kosher salt
because
I knew I'd be cooking. And it was hella funny because I brought it. And then my friend was like, are you kidding me? And her bougie friend had bought the same box of kosher salt when she visited them too. Because we both cook and we both didn't want to use the stupid little grinders. But in order to appreciate that, you also have to be kind of a salt fiend. So I understand that.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole thing is super bougie, but I will like kind of have salt will travel. I am a little bit like that.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, good. Look at this. We're agreeing. Not fighting at all.
Shut up.
Okay,
okay.
Good.
You ready?
Yes.
Murals. You are hella bougie about murals.
That's true.
You are.
I didn't write that down. I'm bougie about public art, murals, big time.
You are
a sculpture,
such a jerk.
I will be so bougie about that. That is true. And not just murals, but like graffiti, you know?
You hate graffiti, public art, statues, murals, anything in the public.
I like, don't hate those things. I absolutely, to the bottom of the core of my being, love certain versions of those things.
You talk shit about like 80% of the murals that we see. You hate them. And if there's an abstract piece of public art, you will be like, why would they even make sense? Why is that?
But when I when I see one that I like, it fills me with the spirit, makes me feel like I'm flying.
Yeah, right. That's what the spirit of bougie.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good call, Muriel. I'm hella bougie about that shit. You
like,
know what I love?
I think it's really funny because I like gorped out murals. Like when people try to make murals of people's faces and they're all just distorted.
Oh, that
like,
was so tragic when Kobe
when
passed.
Kobe
and
passed.
Gigi and all that.
They were all over LA. There were all of these in memoriam murals everywhere. And the people who drew the faces, they were just so messed up. Yeah. And we'd be driving around and be like, oh, are you kidding me?
So
I mean,
true.
It's so dark, but it was just like unbelievably bad.
Yeah.
But you're hilarious because you'll be like, we'll be driving and you'll see something that you hate. And I think it's funny for the first like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And then you'll just be like, just nailing it so hard. Every aspect.
Because I think you're right. And there is something about this. I think the truth of it is people want to say like, oh, I'm bougie. And they kind of act like that's a source of pride sometimes for like, oh, I only have like designer clothes or like drive like foreign cars or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Because it's like part of the sort of materialistic, like best is best kind of vibe. And the other part that they don't recognize with that is they're also being a hater.
Yeah.
Because you have to hate on so much, right, to really grab that. And I sometimes want to fight, but other times celebrate the reality that I do hate on things.
Yes.
I'll be hating. But I just want to say the only things I hate on is because there's versions of that thing that I love. Like, I don't hate on things that are neutral to me.
Do you remember when we went and saw Les Mis in the theaters?
Yes, I do remember this. I'm going to take off my sweatshirt because I'm getting sweating. I'm getting angry hearing about this. So you tell the people, and I'm going to sit here and put the microphone down, and then I'll be back in a second if I like the version of the story you're about
okay,
to tell.
Okay, so Nick and I went on a double date with a friend. We hadn't gone out with them before, and we went to go see Les Mis. In the theaters when that came out. So it was the one with Anne Hathaway and like Russell Crowe and all these people. And I love musicals. I don't care. And there's a lot of stuff to like about that movie. I didn't think it was the greatest movie, but you know, there were parts of it that were fun. The couple we went with really liked it. And we were taking the train back to our house and Nick was just like bitterly hating on it. Like, so hard that it was like, honestly, it was so funny. Like, I could not believe how bitter you were about doing this. And I started calling you the greatest hater of all time. Is that what I was calling you?
Yeah.
And you got so mad at me. But I was being hilarious. We were sitting there. You were just trashing this movie. And I was like, wow, man, he's the greatest hater of all time.
And then I said, no, I'm not. And then you made this look. You gave me this like funny sort of like,
really?
Really?
Are you really?
Looking back on it, I have no idea why I had zero sense of humor about that. We were with friends. They're comedians.
We were all having fun, and I was being really funny.
And I got so mad at you. Honestly, to be honest, I can't really think of a time I got madder, and you kept doing it. And I kept getting more and more mad. And I seriously can't drum up a memory of being more mad.
You were so mad at me. And I was just like, you being mad about this is so stupid that I had to just keep doing it.
I know. And then after we parted from our friends when we were just alone, then you got so mad at me for getting mad at you.
I was like, are you actually mad at me?
I was like, I'm literally actually furious with
you. And I was like, were you being a hater? Okay, were you being the biggest hater?
Okay, well, it's my turn now. Okay. This is thematically linked. You are incredibly bougie about movies and TV shows and theater, but specifically about dramas.
Well, I don't like a lot of things, I guess. What do you mean?
Because you're a great hater.
We'll
see something good and you'll just be like, you'll just tear it apart. Like, you're saying I'm a hater. I won't even mention some of the movies that you will hate on or TV shows that you hate on that are clearly brilliant. I won't even mention the titles because I'm embarrassed to be associated with someone who hates them that bad.
Do you think that I'm making some good points when I'm hating on them?
Yes.
I think the difference between us is that, and this is between anyone, it's just like, even if it's pretty good, I won't say it's great if there's a few things that I think are really stupid about it. And also, by the way, The Crown swept the Emmys and you were sitting here trying to act like, why would that even be a part of the Emmys?
I will admit that I had to check myself.
That was
I had to check myself with that one. Because I was looking at the winners of the Emmys and I was like, the Crown one? I was like, I mean, we watched every episode. It's good, but it's not sweep the Emmys good. And then I did, but I had to catch myself. I had to be like, clearly, that's like obviously going to sweep the Emmys.
I was like, it's a show made for the Emmys. It has the biggest blockbuster names. It's like
a huge subject matter, like period piece, like incredibly ambitious scope of the thing.
It's
white.
Clearly.
It's everything. Like, clearly, it would sweep the Emmys. Like, why? Of course that it would. But I was like, well, it's not that good.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think you were saying you wasn't that good, which is fine. I completely relate to that. But I think it was really funny when you were like, I don't understand why it was nominated. I was like, well, it's not like a web series. Like, what are you talking about?
That's true. I really caught myself in something.
You know, I don't know. It's a weird thing.
You don't like a lot of dramas. Most dramas that we watch, this is my sense of it, is that they actually impact you. And if there isn't, if the payoff, if the reason for having the sort of like negative impact mm-hmm. isn't really overpowering, you're just like, I don't want to watch anymore. I don't like it. It's not good enough for these reasons. It's not like redeeming enough.
I think with dramas in particular, I don't like it when things aren't earned, you know, or like, because I find it to be manipulative. Like I can watch yeah. something and be affected by it. Like, right. but I also am really sensitive. Like I can't watch a lot of stuff. Yeah. I can't watch a lot of like, it just has to do for me with whether or not I feel like the feelings that I'm that like whatever this is evoking in me feels earned through good creative work.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. So like if it kind of is a subject matter that's touchy.
Yeah.
And of course that's going to be evocative for you. Yeah. But then at the end, there's a lot of things that are kind of a little morally skeezy or like very simple when it kind of was presented as being this complicated thing.
Right.
Or it's like some thing that has been done a million times, it's dressed up in another way.
Yeah.
And then they're like, it's so innovative. That happens all the time. And you watch it and it's good because we love classic stories. Like that's the idea for Western storytelling, that there's like 12 classic stories, you know, that were invented and we kind of just cycle through those things.
Yeah.
It's like, of course you're going to be affected by them, but I get really annoyed when it's like the praise for it or the reason why we should be watching it is kind of like shallow, you know?
Yeah. Spoiler alert. Muriel hates your favorite TV shows. Guys.
That's not true. And I like stupid shit. So, you know,
I know you that. No, that's the thing. It's like you're bougie, but you'll just like want to watch Rick and Morty or Trailer Park Boys like all day, every day.
It's like it's honest work, you know? Yeah. All right. In the same vein, speaking of bougie, reality TV. Because you are so bougie
about
that.
That's actually really true. I like think that that's like a stuck up, like that's beneath me type thing.
And then you want to binge watch reality TV.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
A couple shows.
Yeah, I know. Okay. Real talk, so much shit. Like I'll have something on, you'll be like, I can't believe you're watching that. It's disgusting to me.
I judge you.
Yeah, you judge me. And then you find one that you like and you'll just be like totally hooked. We'll watch like 8 episodes in one night.
Of which one?
Just in one night, of whichever one you pick, man.
Yeah.
You love Survivor.
Yeah.
You know, like Survivor's a great show.
Yeah.
I love Survivor. But I mean, it's still got like drama, sexy, stupid
shit.
No,
it's not better. It's not like fancier or more sophisticated than, I don't know, Project Runway or some of that shit that I hate.
Right. But you also loved the makeup one. Like the makeup.
I didn't love that one. I started watching.
Don't even start with this shit. You'll be like, I don't like this fashion one, but I like this one. I hate this food one, but I love this one.
Yeah, there are the competition ones that I can get into, but if it's any like the Sunset Real Estate people or like Kardashian things, that does make me feel like I am a superior person than the people that would enjoy that.
I know that. Yeah. I know. But I bet you somewhere there's a really good example of one that you'd enjoy.
Oh, that would be fun. We could watch the first episode of like 10 different of those kind of reality shows that aren't competition based and see which one I like.
Like we were watching one about that like intense Mormon family.
I hated that one.
Yeah, I know you did. But you kind of talked about it a lot. You definitely watched like multiple episodes.
No, I didn't.
You
no,
did.
I didn't. They weren't Mormon either. I remember it. I'll talk to you. Are you tricking me? Okay, next. Okay, you are very, very, very bougie about textures.
I said one of the things on my list. You got me. Things that are supposed to be crispy that aren't.
Muriel has to have multiple textures in everything she eats.
That's not necessarily true.
You just bought cookies to crumble on your ice cream, Muriel. That is straight bougie texturism.
I like textures and things. I don't always have to have textures and things, but I do like them. You're correct. And
I
one thing,
sold other thing is ice cream toppings. Ice cream toppings. You have to have textures and things.
I like
if a dish doesn't have textures, you call it a mush bowl, and you don't like it.
Well, I don't like just big. Like, like salty crockpot meals. Like, I'm not like that into it. And I know that that's something that you really like.
Yeah, because I'm not a bougie maniac when it comes to textures. I don't need every color of the rainbow in every bite of food I take.
Yeah, it's true. I don't know what it is. I just think it's like, I can only have a few bites. I don't like it. It depends though, like, I guess I just really need to have that happen. And also I get really, it's like a really weird thing for me if something's supposed to be some way and it's not, you know, like if something is definitely supposed to be soft and it's like dried out or something's supposed to be crispy, but it's like really flabby, you know, that type of thing. I know. It's just, I mean, maybe I have a sensory problem, but I just am like, so turned off by it.
Well, I'll just combine this one to that one because I'm realizing how close they are. You're also incredibly bougie about,
like, stop saying incredibly bougie.
Okay, you're bad and bougie about like dish composition / theory. For instance, we went to this restaurant the other day, Island Soul in Seattle, Washington, that I've loved for a while, and it is still operating on a world-class level. It is just some of the best Caribbean food you're going to find. It is so good. The best catfish in Seattle. It's really a remarkable restaurant. So I ordered this little prawn appetizer thing because, you know me, I love some prawns. And it was delicious. It was great. It was so good. And on the walk home, you just had to just go ahead and talk about how you didn't understand the dish and the sauce should have been reduced and the theory behind it was blah, blah, blah. And you just felt like all you just bouged out super hard.
It was a bowl of heavy cream with a bunch of shrimp in it and nothing else. And you just ate it with a spoon. It was a very strange appetizer.
Well, that was you're getting it mixed up. That wasn't the one at Island Soul. That was the one at Athenia in Pike Place Market.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. But it was very similar.
Well, it was just kind of like a shrimp in a broth that was delicious that I loved.
I know. Just but embrace I'm just saying, like, what does an appetizer mean to you?
Okay, good. Now we're talking theory. Boom, go off, queen. Talk about why you're bougie.
I'm just saying, like, if you're going to say, this is two different places we went. If you're like, oh, prawn appetizer. To me, that's like maybe like a shrimp cocktail. It's classic, right? Mm-hmm. You have the thing. You pick it up. You dip it in. Yeah. It's kind of a like an entry point into the meal. It's like that's a little thing that you can share really easily. It's meant to be shared, you know, and to start your meal, right? Mm-hmm. Now, you think about other things. I don't know. Like, I'm thinking of classic ones, like not, you know, fancy ones, but hummus plates, right? Uh-huh. Or what are other like appetizers? Calamari. That's a great one. Plate of calamari, right?
Yeah.
You're just kind of grabbing it, dipping it in stuff. It's easy to share. It's self-composed. I just think it's funny to be like, here's a bowl full of like either cream or broth with a bunch of shrimp in it and soup spoons. And then your appetizer is to sit there and stare at each other and fish these prawns out of the same broth with your soup spoons. It's like, because it doesn't make no sense.
See? Okay, great. Theory / composition.
It was fine. It was good. It was
They were both delicious. Incredible shrimp. I loved it.
Like, even mussels make more sense, or clams, because you can pick them up by the shell and eat them.
Keep
going. You're not eating, like...
She's just getting started, guys.
Like, it's like... Or if it's a soup, right? You're going to get a cup of soup for your appetizer. You're going to eat that alone. If you and
wind
a friend...
Wind her up and let her go.
Like,
wind
another dude, right?
Go.
You and another friend sit down, and you're like, let's eat this soup together. It makes no sense. Can't pick it up with your hands. Can't really eat it with a fork. And then there's no bread, so you're just kind of like eating this broth. I was just like, what is this?
All right, very good. So it sounds like you agree with me.
Yeah, sometimes stuff doesn't make any sense.
Oh my God, we haven't had anything we disagree on. Do you have something on your list that you really think I'm going to not agree with?
Well, you certainly didn't agree with, you agreed with everything I said so far.
Right.
Okay.
No, we actually haven't fought. We were just agreeing upon things that we have fought about in the past.
Okay. I mean, everything I'm saying is right. Cold medicine. That's a good one.
How am I bougie about cold medicine?
You are like, it has to be this kind. You don't like the generic kind. It doesn't work anyway. We argue about whether, like, you were like, go and get this specific kind of airborne. Go get this specific kind of, like, You are hella picky about your cold medicine. It's all just like smoke and mirrors anyway.
I don't know if that's true. I don't think that that's true.
It's true.
I get generic kinds.
You'll get generic NyQuil and DayQuil, yes. But you want the other stuff. But sometimes it's a lot more expensive. And
oh, no, that's true. I need my Alka-Seltzer.
I know. That was the other one. You'll complain about the Alka-Seltzer has to be a certain kind. It needs to be that.
That's true.
Like, you have like a lineup of things that are essentially just aspirin mixed with vitamin C in different forms that have to be brand name. And you have to have like several products.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. I have a specific list.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of like that way about deodorants too, but that's not really fair.
That's not fair because your little armpits get bright pink.
I had to use your deodorant for like 3 days and I woke up in the middle of the night because my armpits were stinging so bad. Yeah. They literally woke me up out of a dead sleep. Freaking Degree for women's, whatever that was, is poison. I had to go wash. I stood in the sink and washed my armpits. You were like, what are you doing?
It's a lot of what I say around sleep. Like, you'll get up and be like, what are you doing?
Yeah, you're definitely
earplugs in. I can't really tell what's going on. I have my sleep pad on.
You're very bougie about being woken up in the middle of the night.
I'm bitchy about being woken up in the middle of the night.
Okay, now I'm going to bring up one that is a sore spot for us. We've gotten into fights about this in the past, and I don't know if you'll cop to it. You're very, very, very bougie about karaoke singers' intentions. And you will be hating on certain karaoke singers if you feel like they're trying to show off for their friends, if you feel like they're theater people to be too theatery.
I used to be a lot more like that because I just would pay attention more.
Yeah.
Now I just like doing it. I don't care anymore. I get annoyed, I think, sometimes when...
Keep going. Here we go.
Like, the thing that happens a lot is like somebody will be a good trained singer and then go up and act like they're like,
this is it,
not doing that, you know. They'll be like, oh, I don't know, okay. But I don't care. I don't care anymore. I used to care a lot more
because the last time, besides like dive bar karaoke singing, which is clearly your top,
that's the only kind of like really.
Right. So maybe that's what we're talking about. Because if we go to a place that's like a hot karaoke spot and there's like whole groups of tables of friends that are getting up and clearly like kind of good, they will be your mortal enemies. You criticize and you hate.
You're making me out to be like so negative. I'm talking about maybe a table of people who are also like not being very obnoxious.
Uh-huh. But what's making them obnoxious?
Just like acting like dominating stuff, like talking over people, not like, you know, it's just like a table of people who are kind of like sometimes you'll go and there'll be like a musical theater group of kids and they'll just be like really like their friends go up and they're like, yeah.
You know, like, yes. Yeah.
I mean, you're blowing that out of proportion. That's me just like talking shit about like people acting stupid in a bar, which like, if you want to go there, then I think we could probably talk about you doing that to like anyone having fun in a bar.
What?
You are absolutely a huge hater. Like, don't try to fucking...
Muriel.
Don't even try. You're like that. You'll do is you're like, damn, that she's really good. And I'll be like, yeah, I know. She's like doing this thing that she's doing. It's great, you know.
Yeah.
But like, it's okay. It's not like it's at the top of her game, but it's not like, wow, like call the mayor.
So really what you're saying is you just get jealous when I compliment another singer at a karaoke bar.
No, isn't that not true though? Like when someone's really good and they're up there just having a great time and they're really good, I don't hate on them. It's a very specific thing of just like kind of being a little like, okay, here's one that's always bothers me. It's like somebody goes up yeah. and they're like a musical theater kid or whatever, yeah. and they go up and they sing like Aretha Franklin.
Yeah.
But they sing it like it's a choir. You know what I mean? Uh-huh, so they're like uh-huh. hitting all the right notes, but it's like they're just doing it super like glee style. Yeah. And then they're like, I'm like acting really sassy afterwards, like they really nailed being soulful. I always just like, oh my God, stop. Like, that's annoying. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, but I think it's funny also. It's yeah. not like whatever. But I love good singers. Yeah. I just think also you have bad taste in singers. Yeah. You'd be like, wow. It's like very funny. It's usually if it's a very pretty girl uh-huh. singing something okay, you'll be like, she's really good.
Oh, that's not fair.
It's true. We're talking about the same type of person. I think it's true.
All right, great.
I've never seen you say that about a dude unless they were older than 60. Like, you would never be like, oh, that guy is a really good singer if he was your age.
That's true.
I know okay. it's true. I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so I guess we agree to fight about that from now on. All right, what else you got on your list?
Okay. We're taking a break from our bougie episode to bring you an ad.
And we are advertising a little website called www.patreon.com/hellainyour30s. What happens is you listen to this podcast every Monday or maybe one Monday every 4 months. What do we know? Who knows? But somehow this podcast fits into your life. You're probably thinking, wow, these guys must make some money from advertising or some way via this podcast, and they wouldn't do it for free, would they? And the answer is we would, except we do make some money from our Patreon.
Yes,
right?
That's what fuels our
endeavors.
Life.
So, okay, so why would you do that? Well, oh my God, this podcast is free. I want to give them some money, and I want something for my money, okay? Mm. I'm not in it for the charity. Nick and Muriel aren't charity cases. I need something for my dollars. Well, guess what? We got you covered. We give you 2 exclusive episodes a month.
Yes. Okay?
That is crazy cool.
And they're usually really, really wild. They're fun. We get to play music sometimes. You'll love it.
Okay, www.patreon.com/hellainyour30s. That's where you give money to us as podcasters and we give you extra episodes.
That's right. And if you're listening to this podcast and one day you listen to this and this is just us rambling about Dollar Shave Club, you'll yeah. know we made it.
Yes, right. But until then, Patreon or bust.
Okay, I got one for you.
Yeah.
Any furniture mm-hmm. that's not extremely comfortable.
Ooh.
You.
That's true.
You
I get.
Hate.
I get really upset. I do. That's a good call.
Yeah.
A chair that isn't comfortable to me feels like an affront to my humanity.
I know. You hate it so much. And you'll yeah. talk about it for days afterwards. And be like, that's the thing is. It's like, of course they're going to have that kind of chair. Of course they're going to give me that kind of chair. Like it's some sort of personal thing.
It is. That is true. I'm true. Hella bougie about that. Yeah. And it doesn't need to be expensive and it doesn't need to be nice. But if it is uncomfortable, I do assign a lot of psychological problems to the people that own it and chose it.
Right. And then you also assign a lot of like, you think it is like a directional hatred towards you, you know, like
it's less about me personally and more about just like a humankind in general, or just the act of being a human that they feel like they need to attack. It's true. You're right. And I definitely think it's, a severe, I feel like things are severely wrong with people if they like, and I'm not talking about people who are broke and can't afford nice things, or I'm talking about people that are doing just fine and have stuff and just their things aren't comfortable.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, I know. I love that about you. I think it's also like a hospitality thing where you're like, I've been attacked by this person's hospitality for making me sit in an uncomfortable chair.
That is so true. You're completely right about that. I don't want to talk about it more because it would expose
your feelings.
No, it's not my feelings. My feelings are all exposed. I don't mean like specific people. I would never want to hurt anyone's feelings. And that's a great example of something that I, if I go to someone, I'm not going to complain about it to them or
right.
at
I mean,
them
and that's
or around
the karaoke
them.
Thing. It's like, right. I'm just like talking shit about like this specific dynamic of like,
that's true. Muriel's not like bullying people at karaoke bars.
I'm not
knocking over their drinks.
Right. Or even like giving them a dirty look. I'm totally not. It's just like, It's kind of something that it's eye-rolly for me.
Yeah, right.
And also, I'm right about the girl thing.
Hey, I'm going to tell you something right now. Always have, always will, love a lady.
I know you
I
do.
Will love a lady. I know you I will do. Love a lady.
Wow, she's really good. My
I like her style. It's
my
true. I'm sprung off girls. I'm still girl crazy. I'm
I know,
still
I know.
Crazy.
That's part of the eye-rolly thing. I'm like, oh, really? She was really good. Wow. She needs a record. Nick's like, why are you hating?
It's true. I've been loving ladies. All right.
I know.
Okay. And I hate an uncomfortable couch.
I know. And or you, chair.
And
or
if the
bench.
Chairs don't work well with the table or the benches are weird.
You'll
or
be
whatever.
Rocking back and forth, pulling down your shirt.
No, I don't do that. That's what I don't do. I don't ever make a fit in front of people. I'm an incredibly gracious guest.
You know what?
That is guaranteed.
Okay.
That's guaranteed. I'll fight you if you say otherwise.
Maybe I just am more sensitive to it because I know you very well, but I can see you being very, I know when you don't like a chair.
Yeah, you're sensitive with me because you're obsessed with me, okay? You're just way over the top, tuned in. Oh, what does he think? What's this going? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You need to get your own life, okay?
Okay,
some
great.
Independence. Independent woman, you know?
Stop.
All right. This is a bit like the medicine one for me. You're very, very bougie about your cleaning products.
I like what I like, but they're not expensive.
I know.
Yeah.
But when I buy cleaning products, I buy it to your tastes.
I know.
Because I don't give a damn. All the 409 Lysol is the same to me. You know.
I will say also, I think this is fair.
Uh-huh.
I am sensitive to smells and chemicals. And so there's certain ones for me that have always worked since I was a kid. And then other ones legit like give me sneezing attacks or like give me rashes on my hands.
Right. Like
stuff.
We have to have like scent free laundry detergent.
Yeah. And there's some like 409s always worked for me. I don't think it has a really strong smell, but then like sometimes Lysol will have this like certain Lysol sprays will have this really clingy, intense smell to me. So I'll be like sneezing when I'm doing the counter, which is just like annoying.
Yeah.
Because I'm always like have hives and itching and sneezing. Like don't want to add more of those things to my environment.
Yeah.
I think that's fair. That's almost more practical, right? Is that bougie?
I don't know. I get what you're saying. I don't know. I wanted to tease you about it, but that's probably right. I know you're very sensitive, boo.
I am a sensitive boo. And I hate stinky smells.
Yeah.
Unless it's like, I like Pine Sol and 409. Those are the two I like.
Right.
All right, here's one for you. This is a food one.
Okay.
You cannot stand it if there's not enough sauce ever. If anything, it's like it can be kind of overcooked, mushy, you know, kind of spicy, weird, whatever.
Yeah.
But if there's not enough sauce on it, I think that you are just like absolutely not. There needs to be sauce.
I think that's definitely true.
Isn't that like the one trigger? I feel like it is.
Is it the one? Honestly, for me, it's really about temperature stuff.
Oh yeah.
Like when we got sweet and sour soup the other day, I didn't send it back, but that was horrible for me.
I should have sent it back.
So I'm not that bougie, right? Like how bougie could I be?
Yeah,
like
right.
That was just like tepid.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's like just put it in the microwave. You know, this is like actually not good.
Yeah.
But I'm super bougie about I think temperature is probably the biggest thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you don't have enough sauce, that just sucks. I did put for you sauce consistency / texture. You'll be like, the sauce broke. I don't even care. The sauce, like, they have to be good.
Well, that's
I just
what
need
I'm
some
saying.
Juice. Just give me some juice, you know? Give me the gas, pedal to the metal.
Yeah, maybe I'm more bougie about that, actually.
I also put matching for you by put matching hot sauces with type of food. Like, he'll be like, this is Chinese, Nick.
Oh, you're putting Tapatio on everything. There's a big difference between putting Tapatio on something and putting, like, what's it called? The rooster sauce on something.
Yes. Well, we have Red Rooster, Louisiana, Tapatio, Cholula, Sriracha, the Sambal Olek, whatever. Uh-huh. Like, and if I bring out the wrong one or it's not there, it's going to be an issue.
That's not true. You know I'll just get up and get it.
That's the kind of issue I'm talking about. All right. I think I got all the... Oh, and then also you're very bougie about how your steak is cooked. You'll be definitely upset if a steak is overcooked.
I've never sent it back, though.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to waste it. How come you just did speed round on me?
I don't know. I just got... Because I wanted to get through the last of them. Now I want to get to the thing that we wrote down about ourselves that we didn't...
Well, I have a bunch more for you.
All right, go. Hit me.
Okay, speed round shoes. Me.
Yes. They don't have to be expensive, but they have to be... unique and cool.
Yeah, they're pretty bougie about shoes.
Yeah, I am bougie.
But beer, beer, even, yeah, very beer, bougie.
That's oh, actually, shoes and beer are both on my list.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Desserts.
You know,
I think you're if you, yeah. you for somebody who loves tiramisu, yeah. I have never seen someone hate on so many tiramisus in my life.
But I'll still eat the entire thing.
Yeah, but you still complain about it.
You know, it's funny. I was gonna put desserts on mine, but then I decided not to because I still love a crappy cake. You know,
yeah,
I'll eat garbage.
You'll eat garbage, but like if you serve a tiramisu in a mason jar to you, you'll lose your mind for like 4 days.
But then when you have a tiramisu like we had at Vito's the other day, a big fat slab looks like a big piece of lasagna, almost that size. Come on now. Nick. Then you know you can't handle these little weak ass tiramisus around town.
Seasoning on popcorn in particular, if there's not enough, uh-huh. then you get really upset about it. And you don't even like popcorn, but you want it to be juiced up.
You're gonna eat it. I'm passing that one. I feel like that's way more you.
No,
than
that's
it is
you.
Me. And you're the one who has to have...
I like making popcorn a certain way, but I like all kinds of popcorn. If there's something that doesn't have some juice on it for you, I guess it goes back to the sauce thing. Wedding rings for men. Bands.
Okay,
you
okay.
They have
I think,
to be gold.
I think they should be gold. I think they should be gold.
That's fine. And you're like, it needs to be as big as it possibly could be.
It could have gone bigger.
I know, but you went really big.
Yeah, my wedding ring is huge.
It's massive. And you were like, it has to be. You threw a fit about that. You said,
well,
gold.
I knew what I
huge.
Wanted. I knew what I wanted.
You absolutely yeah. make fun of other people who don't have the exact same band as you do, other men. You're like, that person's band is not as thick as my band.
You know, I don't know if I do that exactly, but I am a believer that it should be gold. I think if you want silver and pewter and all that kind of stuff, why? So if you get abandoned on a desert island, you can melt it down and make a little freaking knife out of and hunt for food or something. It's gold. It's wedding. I don't know. It's gold. You know what I mean?
And
silver is for spoons. I don't know.
And house shoes. If you go anywhere, you have to bring house shoes.
I am
you.
Very bougie. I would say it's not so much I'm bougie about house shoes, but I am bougie about my bare feet.
I know.
These are very sensitive things.
I know.
And I have to have my house shoes.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that's an absolute must.
Everywhere we go, if we spend the night somewhere, those house shoes are going in a bag.
That's guaranteed. I'm wearing them right now. I would never not wear them. I'd never be in a house without my house shoes except for when I sleep and shower. That's true. All right. That's true. All right. So moving on to the things that we wrote for ourselves that the other person didn't say. I'll go first. I'm very, very bougie about forks, spoons, knives, and coffee mugs.
They have to be big and heavy.
Yes. If I have a small fork, I'm in a bad mood. I hate having a little wimpy fork. I need a big ass fork.
Yeah, it's the only thing you really screech at me about. If I like serve dinner and I don't remember to give you like the good fork, you'll just be like, how are you going to give me this fork?
It's true.
I'm not going to eat this with
I know,
a small ass
I know.
Fork.
I hate a small spoon. I hate a small spoon, except for I don't mind like a regular size spoon if I'm eating ice cream.
Okay. Me?
Yeah.
I don't know if you know this.
What?
but types of fabric. I like natural, like natural fibers, like yeah. cotton or wool.
Yeah.
And if I can't stand wearing on my skin, unnatural fibers. Mm-hmm. It's like,
hence the only wearing t-shirts forever.
I mean, it's like, I can't really afford nice clothes, you know, but I would rather wear a t-shirt than like a plastic
blouse,
you know,
or something.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
That makes sense. Yeah, I don't think I knew that, but that totally makes sense.
I don't like the way it makes my skin feel. Yeah. So I'm very bougie about that.
Yeah, and I like to give myself a little natural distance from your clothing and fashion. I call them issues.
All you want me to do is dress like an idiot. He's like, you need to wear like, tell me to dress like, so ridiculous.
Well, I have a certain idea of a type of clothes that you never wear that I think you would look really, 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 really good
in. He wants you to wear all matching tracksuits.
That's not exactly true.
It is pretty true.
That's not true.
You always send me pictures of shit I would literally never wear.
I know, but if you wanted to wear like kind of like expensive, nice, like certain sweatpants and like those kinds of outfits, those kind of like high-end, like leisure casual gear.
Yeah.
Those look really
like
good on
J-Lo
women.
J-Lo in the 90s.
I know what I like. And you would look really, really good in those.
You're ridiculous.
And I want you to wear some more necklaces. And
You want me to wear hella jewelry? You want me to look like J-Lo from the 90s?
It's kind of true. And I also have no idea what's supposed to look good on ladies. So I'm going to put out a Craigslist ad and just say, like, I need a female friend for my wife that wants to go shopping and talk about clothes and try on different things.
I don't want to do that.
I know you don't. I'm talking about me. That's going to be, that's an I
oh,
statement.
Oh, she's not for me. She's for you.
No, she is. Oh, maybe that would be good. I'd be like, all right, what the fuck should I do? And then we'll go.
I cannot believe you're acting like this. What do you think you dress like? You think
I dress like J-Lo from the 90s.
You just wear Dickies pants and like old button downs.
I know. Okay. All right. What else we got on there? Okay. Is it my turn?
Mm-hmm.
I am very bougie about overhead lights.
Yeah.
I'll walk into our bedroom and you'll have the light on from the ceiling.
You can't stand it.
It's like you threw a bag of pee in my face. I hate it. It's horrible. Why would you do that? We have lamps. Turn off the overhead light. Turn on
this
the lamps.
I'll make dinner. He turns off all the lights. You see these things we should eat in the dark?
Not complete dark. You turn on a lamp, you light a candle. That's not complete dark, Muriel.
Well,
I do want to watch television in complete dark, but you throw a fit about that, so we put on a lamp for that. I'm bougie about the lighting when it comes to watching TV.
You will love it dark.
I like it dim, but more importantly, I hate it when it's coming from above. Cast shadows. It's very unbecoming of everyone, and that's a bougie thing.
All right.
All right, what you got?
I'm bougie about, well, a lot of these things we already talked about. I hate appliances that are not made correctly. So like really bad toasters.
That's true. And we do spend money on the better versions of good kitchen tools
because they last for way longer, and it's annoying when it's never worked properly since the beginning and then it breaks in 3 months.
Like, yeah, right.
We've bought like a series of $30 blenders that lasted like 90 days at best, and
yeah,
I was
right.
like, I'm not doing this
yeah
anymore.
Right,
you know. So that's definitely, it is bougie.
No, and you love Sur La Table. Like, you love good kitchen stuff.
I don't go, I mean, I would go there like once at Christmas and
right.
buy something on sale. Like,
right,
I don't
right,
love
right.
Sur La Table,
right,
but I also am like, I know what it is, and if I want to get something, I might get it there, you know, because it's going
right.
to be heavy and good.
Right.
You know, but I try to only buy stuff on sale. I mean, I only buy stuff on sale there.
Yeah, that's true, though. That's a good one for you. I'm very, very bougie about olives.
I know.
I hate cheap olives. I think they're gross. I won't eat them. I hate a cheap olive.
I know.
Because, like, that's like a real definition of bougie, too, where, like, you only do, like, the really high quality, fancy ones.
Yeah.
I love a fancy olive. I'll eat them. And I know which ones I like.
Yeah.
And I will get those. But if it's a cheap olive, it is garbage to me and I won't touch it. And I kind of think, yikes, I'm turning into that about olive oil too. We've been having some really good olive oil lately and it's so much better. And then you try like cheap olive oil and it's just tastes like canola.
Well, a lot of the time it is.
Yeah.
Or it's a blend of canola and olive.
I'm sad because I don't like being bougie about olive oil. I wish that the cheap stuff was still good to me, but I think I might be edging into bougie about olive oil.
It adds a lot. And if you're not, it's hard to justify it.
Yeah.
If you're buying less meat and you're eating more vegetables, then it kind of is like, oh, there's a little extra money in your budget. You can, and it tastes so much better on a salad, da 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 da. But yeah, I mean, it is a weird habit to get into, but it is really a lot better.
So much better. Do you not have any? Do we cover all the rest of yours?
I said jewelry, but we kind of covered that.
Yeah.
I don't really like wearing any jewelry, but if I do, I want it to be real.
Yeah.
And I can't afford real jewelry.
Right.
So I just don't wear any
jewelry. Yeah, so you'd rather have none.
I'd absolutely rather have no jewelry.
Yeah.
Just partly because of metal sensitivities and stuff, but also like, that's just how I feel about it. That is kind of bougie. But it's not like I'm buying jewelry outside of my means. I might be buying olive oil outside my means. But I'm buying olive oil instead of buying, I don't know, like matching sweatsuit, apparently.
Right.
Air fresheners are a big one for me.
You're very bougie about that. You think it's really offensive to you.
I think I just am like, I'd either rather have it just smell clean.
Yeah.
Or like an expensive candle. I know. It's
ridiculous. That's true. Yeah. You are super
bougie about scented
candles.
Yeah. I just like them.
That's true.
That's how I feel about it. I'd either like it to just smell like a clean house or that.
Yeah.
But I am so picky about that.
I'm super bougie about aquariums. We went to the Shedd Aquarium in Chicago and I set the bar. And then we went to like the Long Beach Aquarium. It's like supposed to be the best aquarium on the West Coast. And I was like, this is trash. I seriously think all aquariums are complete garbage after the Shedd Aquarium in Chicago. I'm so bougie about them now.
You are so funny. I was going to say sheets for me, but I don't know if that's really true. I like having clean sheets on the bed. And one time we were all hanging out with a bunch of friends and I said, oh yeah, like we change the sheets once a week, which I don't. And I'll change pillowcases maybe twice a week.
Yeah.
And everybody just looked at me like I was crazy. And I looked at them like they were crazy. I was just like, wait.
How often do you change your sheets?
They're like, not.
Once every 3 months, every time the dog barfs in bed.
It was very strange. I was like, am I bougie? Maybe I'm not. I don't have expensive sheets.
Yeah.
I like sheets that are big enough to fit the bed that I'm in comfortably. So when you lie down, they don't pop off the edges.
Yes.
I like them to be clean. And I like them to be straight, like straightened up when I get into bed. All of those things, if I don't have those, I am irritated about my bed situation.
I am really bougie about my bidet. I hate not having my bidet.
Yeah, I know.
I need my bidet.
I know, you love your bidet.
I love my bidet. I'm also very bougie when it comes to cat and dog food. If I smell it, I feel like someone is putting me in jail.
Right, but that's likes and dislikes, because that's just... You just don't
but like here's it. The thing. I, on some level, every time I smell or see cat and dog food, the reality of it is I'm filled with a sense of, like, I'm too good for this. I need those people to take care of that. Yeah. That's not a me thing. That's not a my kind thing.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying here?
Well, I think that's it for me. I'm glad we didn't get into a terrible fight.
I know. I think the worst one we got into is about the karaoke singers.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. I think that that was kind of mean. I think you're being kind of mean to me because... And I think that also not understanding that you also do most of my stuff is like, oh, really? She's that good.
Okay. Well, all that is acceptable.
Yeah.
And that, I think, was our worst fight. I'm also bougie about Thai food now. I'm sorry. I just saw that on my list. I didn't say that. And chicken wings.
I know. You are. I think we're getting bougier as we get older.
Yeah, like I hate any kind of chicken product from a pizza place. It's not going to be good. And I don't like frozen chicken wings. I like good chicken wings from good places.
I know. You throw a fit about it.
And I used to love all Thai food. And then we moved to LA and then suddenly had gross Thai food a bunch. And I was like, oh, what? in Seattle, all of it's good. And then I moved to LA and I realized you have to be pick and choose, you know?
Yeah.
I'm super bougie about it.
Yeah, I know.
I like it authentic and good. And okay. Five places. Okay. I'm also bougie about mashed potatoes. I need homemade mashed potatoes. And I don't want, if you have mashed potatoes as a side at your restaurant, I'm not ordering it.
We were writing these lists and I was doing it for maybe 20 minutes. And I go, how many of these do you have? And it goes 15 for me and like 20 for you. I was like, I'm not going to do that many.
Let's do yoga. Let's get fit.
Thank you for listening.
And thank you to Kira Sparkles for your recommendation, your request. And just thank you to everyone who hits up with recommendations and requests. We got a few voicemails we're sitting on. Please keep those coming along. We got a couple other recommendations we're sitting on. We're just letting them stew, letting them bake, letting them come together like a perfect chicken pot pie.
Oh, my God. Sometimes you... it's so funny when you're talking and you're trying to bring it on home and you look at me.
Well, you're my light. You're my beacon. You're my light post. You
always
know?
Feel like you're like, come on, girl.
Well, I'm nothing without you, Muriel.
I have nothing without you.
I have your support in order to make any sense at all in this world.
That's how I feel as well. And I'm sorry if I was more bitchy than bougie about some of those things.
All right, everyone. We'll catch you later. Oh, hey, look. If you're still listening and you want to listen to our murder podcast, it's called Muriel's Murders.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. It's like this, except maybe, I don't know, more focused.
It's focused. It's a little more, it's more professional, let's face it.
Yeah. And it's about really ridiculous stories. The last one we just told was about William S. Burroughs.
Yes, that one was crazy.
Yeah, and so we try to find unusual murder stories and talk about them.
And sometimes it's just true crime. Not always someone gets murdered, but lately there's been people dying.
Yeah.
Which is drastic, and I'm sensitive, so whatever. But it's good. It's actually, we're really proud of it. And so if you're just like, wow, Nick and Muriel, they have something, but boy... I think that their subject matter on this podcast has gotten really stupid or like...
I really just want to hear him read a script. We got it. We got you.
Yeah. All right. Anyways, Muriel's Murders. And find us...
This is the worst plug in the world.
Okay. We're quitting while we're behind. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Mia.
Hey, it's Allie.
And we host the Rom-Com Review podcast, P.S. I Love Rom-Coms.
Each week, we'll have incredible guests come and discuss a new rom-com, grand gestures, meet cutes, and of course, that elusive chemistry. Mia, what are you doing holding that giant boombox over your head? I'm hoping to win over listeners with this grand gesture. Take us back! Find a new episode every week and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by Campfire Media. Wow, you're still holding that boombox.
Yeah, I've got great upper body strength. Thanks, CrossFit.
P.S. I love rom-coms.
I love rom-coms.
Campfire.